This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello, welcome to VOA Africa. Thanks for joining us. I'm Douglas Imbuga, and here is what's coming up.
And so today is no ordinary day. It is a moment when we must choose to either move forward together or risk losing all we have built.
Thus, President Cyril Ramaphosa saying South Africa's new coalition government provides a chance for the unity that has escaped the country since the end of apartheid. Also, an explosion and fire at a military ammunition depot in Chad's capital killed an undisclosed number and wounded others. And tomorrow is World Refugee Day. All this and more coming up on Africa News Tonight. In South Africa, African National Congress leader Cyril Ramaphosa was sworn in today for a second term as president. Some opposition parties recently united with the ANC to form a coalition government, effectively saving Ramaphosa's job. The ANC got only 40% of the vote in an election in late May, losing the large majority in parliament it held since South Africa's first multiracial election in 1994. Darren Taylor reports.
I, Matamela Cyril Ramaphosa, swear that I will be faithful to the Republic of South Africa.
President Cyril Ramaphosa took the oath of office at the Union Buildings in Pretoria today, confirming he'll lead South Africa's new unity government. A praise singer welcomed him, lauding him as a great leader of a great nation. In a subsequent speech, 71-year-old Ramaphosa said South Africa's made great progress since the end of apartheid. It's a strong democracy, he said, with an independent judiciary and robust civil society. Yet, Ramaphosa added, South Africa is also broken.
Our society remains deeply unequal and highly polarized. There are toxic cleavages of an incipient social fragmentation that can only turn into instability. The lines drawn by our history and our past, between black and white, between suburbs and townships, between the wealthy and the poor, remain still deeply etched in our landscape.
Analysts say much of Ramaphosa's speech can be interpreted as rebuking South Africa's most leftist parties, Umkhonto weSizwe and the Economic Freedom Fighters, who he excluded from the coalition government. Both MK leader, former President Jacob Zuma, and EFF head Julius Malema have made statements against South Africa's white citizens, accusing them of racism. In his address, Ramaphosa emphasized there's no place in South Africa's future for elements who are against the constitution and rule of law. MK and the EFF want to scrap parts of the constitution to allow the state to control all forms of wealth, including land, banks, and mines. Both have, in the recent past, threatened to use violence to achieve their objectives. MK, the EFF, and a few other parties have formed what they call the Progressive Caucus to oppose Ramaphosa's new administration. The president suggested this force is destructive and divisive.
And so today is no ordinary day. It is a moment of fundamental consequence in the life of our nation. It is a moment when we must choose to either move forward together or risk losing all we have built. This moment requires extraordinary courage and leadership. It requires a common mission to safeguard national unity, peace, stability, inclusive economic growth, non-racialism, and non-sexism.
MK and the EFF say the ANC's taken South Africa backwards by partnering with a Democratic Alliance, the DA. Some DA officials are white, with MK and the EFF saying it won't help poor black citizens. At a news conference before the inauguration, EFF deputy leader Floyd Chivambu called the DA an agent of Western white capitalism.
We're not going to sit alongside the land thieves. We're not going to sit alongside the people who got to benefit unlawfully for a very long time from colonialism and apartheid. We're not going to sit alongside them and constitute the government of South Africa.
Ramaphosa said he's confident all parties included in his government are dedicated to improving the lives of all South Africans. He was also frank about the ANC's failures.
The people have demanded an end to the theft of public funds and the capture of the state. They are impatient with political bickering and the endless blame game amongst politicians and political parties.
As an army band delivered the national anthem and soldiers saluted Ramaphosa with cannons, the president reiterated, South Africa belongs to all who live in it. Dissenters, he said, would not stop his government from uniting the country and delivering on its promises of more jobs and electricity and less crime and corruption. For VOA News, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
Officials in Chad say they have opened an investigation and are calling for calm after an explosion and fire at a military ammunition depot in the capital, N'Djamena, late Tuesday killed at least 9 people and wounded dozens of others, causing panic in the Central African state. Moki Edwin Kinzika reports from neighboring Cameroon that efforts are ongoing to put out the blaze, igniting weapons and ammunition.
Le chef de l'État a ordonné une mobilisation exceptionnelle.
Chad State TV reports that President Mahamat Idriss Déby has ordered the mobilization of firefighters and military to assure the safety of civilians after deepening sounds of explosions from a military ammunition depot late Tuesday scared residents in Gouji neighborhood of N'Djamena. Chad media reports that Déby posted on his social media platforms such as Facebook that the fire caused human and material damage, but the leader did not say how many people were killed and wounded. Déby expressed condolences to bereaved families, wished the injured a quick recovery, and called for calm among civilians in the capital city, according to Chad State TV. Déby ordered investigations into the causes of the blast, local media reported. Omar Mokhtar sells spare parts for motors at the central market in N'Djamena. Omar says many panic-stricken civilians ran to nearby homes and schools for safety and also remained at home Wednesday morning when they found a large number of government troops on the streets. Omar spoke to VOA Wednesday via a messaging app from N'Djamena. He said business was resuming gradually with many merchants returning to their shops. He said government troops and firefighters rushed several wounded persons to hospitals in Chad's capital. VOA could not independently verify the claims. The government said there were disruptions in transportation but did not provide details. Tuesday's explosion occurred after Déby presided over a meeting of top military and security officials in N'Djamena this week. Déby said Chad's security is threatened by disgruntled armed gangs and people who want to see Chad in chaos. Mohamed Shafadin Maguin, Chad's public security minister, spoke on Tuesday after the meeting. He says the security situation in Chad had remained tense ever since Déby was inaugurated as president on May 23 to end 3 years of military transition and a return to constitutional order. Magi said Chad is planning to deploy its military to hotspots to preserve peace, national unity, and territorial integrity, as Deby promised during his inauguration. The Central African States Constitutional Council declared Deby the winner of Chad's May 6 presidential election with 61% of the vote. Opposition parties contested the results and accused Deby of vote rigging, a claim Deby described as unfounded. Moki Edwin Kinzuka, VOA News, Yaoundé, Cameroon.
You're listening to Africa News Tonight. I'm Douglas Dimpoga in Washington. For more information on these and other stories from the continent, please see voaafrica.com. There you'll find all your favorite VOA radio and TV programs and a whole lot more. For world news, check out voanews.com. Tomorrow is World Refugee Day, as the United Nations warns of scaring numbers of forcibly displaced people around the world. Aid agencies in East Africa say there is less money to help them. From the Kenyan capital Nairobi, Ruben Chama reports.
The United Nations Refugee Agency, UNHCR, says about 120 million people worldwide have been forcibly displaced due to persecution, conflict, and human rights violations. Faith Kasina is the UNHCR spokesperson for East Africa, the Horn of Africa, and the Great Lakes region. She says while the number of displaced people in East Africa and the Horn has surged, funding to help them has fallen drastically.
The Eastern Horn of Africa currently hosts over 5.4 million refugees and asylum seekers, as well as over 18 million internally displaced people, mainly in Sudan, Somalia, Ethiopia, and South Sudan. South Sudan still remains the largest refugee crisis in the region, with nearly 2.3 million South Sudanese refugees in neighboring countries.
Kasina says the humanitarian situation in Sudan remains dire due to the ongoing fighting.
The Sudan crisis is also deeply concerning, as there are now almost 1.9 million Sudanese refugees in neighboring countries. If the conflict continues, many more Sudanese will be forced to flee across borders as refugees.
A new report by the international charity World Vision reveals that more life-saving food assistance is critically needed as aid agencies are forced to make ration cuts due to the funding shortage. Despite the challenges, some refugees have come up with initiatives to help build new lives in host countries. Rebecca Aime is one such refugee from the Democratic Republic of Congo, who now resides in neighboring Uganda. She has established a social enterprise, Patapia, which provides banking services for refugees in Uganda.
I came to Uganda in 2010 as a refugee, and it was so challenging for us to start life. We stayed on the street for 9 months. We couldn't go to school, and also it was hard for us to start life. At only 13, I started working as a hawker, which exposed me to dangerous situations. I was raped more than once.
The UNHCR says the Ugandan government allows refugees the right to work and a relatively high level of freedom of movement, which has enabled them to get involved in entrepreneurship and more directly engage with the host economy.
In Uganda, we have over 1.5 million refugees who struggle night and day to provide for their families because they can't get jobs, they can't get access to financial support from financial institutions because they are refugees, they are considered high risk. I founded Patapia so that I can support refugee women through business skills and give them access to small microloans to start and grow their own businesses and sustain their families.
27-year-old Amahoro Diana is among those who have benefited from the initiative.
My personal experience as a refugee at first it was really hard in seeking safety in a familiar place, and it was difficult to get education and health care. It was really hard, but we had to cope. With trying to build my life, I had to learn new languages like English, and even right now I'm studying entrepreneurship to come up with my own business.
On Thursday, June 20th, people around the globe mark World Refugee Day, which is dedicated to raising awareness about the challenges faced by refugees and internally displaced persons forced to flee war, violence, and persecution. Ruben Chama, VOA News, Nairobi.
To help us mark World Refugee Day, journalist Catherine Nambi went to the Bidibidi refugee camp in Uganda near the border with South Sudan. She spoke with people about the struggle that families face in getting education for their children. Here are some of their comments. Thomas Mariamungu is a refugee from South Sudan staying in the Bidibidi settlement. He says when he arrived in 2016, each person received 12 kilograms of food a month. That was reduced to 7 kilograms, and then later each person was placed in a category of need, with some people no longer eligible to receive any food aid. He says that creates problems for education.
This has brought theft cases. It has affected the education system here in the settlement. You find child labor has been now the order of the day. Parents go with their children to the garden very far, because now you cannot send a child to school when the child is empty stomach. So it has affected education, and the attendance of learners in the class has reduced seriously, and even the enrollment, and it has caused dropout.
Stella Yuninga also lives in Bidibidi. She says aid groups are cutting programs in the camp because it's stable and there are new wars and conflicts around the world. She says the aid cuts are particularly harmful for girls who want to get an education.
Those supports that used to come are now reducing, and you find that there's really hardship in getting the basic needs, and you find that parents are not able to support their children in school. That's why you find that there's a high rate of school dropout, and most especially for the girls, there's a high rate of school dropouts and teenage pregnancies, just because parents are not able to give the necessary things girls need for their education. That's why when they get some boyfriends who can give them something to support themselves, the end thing is they sleep with them. The end result is getting pregnant, you go and marry that person.
Anguye Henry Thomas also is concerned about the situation of girls in the camp.
We have our girl child. Because the parents lack support to support their girls, these girls intended to move to people who have some money to give them to cater for their basic needs. At the end, it results to pregnancies. And after when a girl gets pregnant, this child can drop out from school. This is a greater challenge, and it is really so affecting our education system.
Atim Zainab, a Ugandan and head teacher of Ariwa Secondary School in Bidibidi, says cuts in aid agency resources mean students go hungry.
And then they stay the whole day without food. We have initiated with parents the school feeding program from 2020, and the program kicked off very well. That was a time when UNHCR was supporting fully refugees in giving them food. But when their food ratio reduced, our school feeding program greatly got affected, because 99% the school feeding program was depending on the food ratio they are receiving from the community.
For more coverage on World Refugee Day, please check out voaafrica.com and find us on your favorite social media. June 19th is the USA holiday known as Juneteenth, which means the day in 1865 when slavery ended in the former Confederate States of the American Civil War. In this U.S. presidential campaign, candidates Joe Biden and Donald Trump are both reaching out to black voters around Juneteenth. VOA correspondent Scott Stans has our story.
President Joe Biden hosted an early Juneteenth concert at the White House.
Our history is not just about the past. It's about our present and our future. It's whether that future is the future for all of us, not just for some of us. They're old ghosts in new garments trying to take us back. Well, there are taking away your freedoms, making it harder for black people to vote or have your vote counted, closing doors of opportunity, attacking the values of diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Donald Trump's campaign launched a Black Americans for Trump coalition Saturday, with the former president reaching out to black voters at a Michigan church.
It's a very important area for us. We've done more for, and I say this, I say it proudly, more for the black population than any president since Abraham Lincoln. That's a big statement.
He said black voters are losing jobs to what he called millions of illegal aliens.
Every state is a border state. You've heard that. But they're coming into your community and they're taking your job. They're affecting the African Americans and then after that the Hispanic Americans more than any other group.
Trump said black communities are hurt by worsening crime under Biden.
The crime is most rampant right here and in African American communities. And more people see me and they say, sir, we want protection. We want police to protect us. We don't want to get robbed and mugged and beat up or killed because we want to walk across the street to buy a loaf of bread.
FBI data shows violent crime in the United States is down across the country in both large cities and small. Biden says black voters got him elected 4 years ago and he needs their help again.
Because black Americans voted, Kamala and I are President and Vice President of the United States because of you. That's not hyperbole. Because you voted, Donald Trump has defeated former president. And with your vote in 2024, we're going to make Donald Trump a loser again.
4 years ago, just 8% of black voters chose Trump. Pew Research polling in this campaign shows 18% of black voters backing Trump. A jump that could make a difference in close races in swing states, including Michigan. Scott Stearns, VOA News.
More than 200 protesters have been arrested in the Kenyan capital, Nairobi, in ongoing protests against proposed tax hikes in a finance bill that Parliament is due to consider. Civil society groups say demonstrations and a planned sit-down outside Parliament buildings would continue despite the arrests. Nairobi Police Commander Adamson Bwengui said no group had been granted permission to protest in Nairobi. The Associated Press says some major tax proposals in the bill were dropped, including a 16% value-added tax on bread after a meeting between ruling party lawmakers and President William Ruto. A proposed tax on goods that degrade the environment would be amended to apply only to imported goods to encourage local manufacturing. Legislators are due to debate the bill with a vote scheduled for Monday. Nigeria's health officials are warning that a cholera outbreak has killed at least 30 people, many of them in the commercial capital Lagos, since the start of the year. Lagos state health officials reported 15 deaths so far and 350 suspected cases, according to a statement on X this week. The French news agency AFP reports that the Lagos Water Corporation warned against consuming water from unreliable or untreated sources. Cholera is an acute intestinal infection that spreads through contaminated food and water. It typically causes severe diarrhea, vomiting, and muscle cramps, and sometimes death. An outbreak killed 123 people, with more than 3,600 suspected cases across Nigeria last year.
VOA. VOA Africa has a wide variety of programs for you. News, lifestyle, health, politics, youth, women, sports. We have it all. Tune into our discussion shows on the radio, television, and the internet on voaafrica.com.
And that wraps up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Douglas Impoga in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. On behalf of the Africa News Tonight team, thanks for choosing The Voice of America.